Okay, hello everyone. Thank you for your interest in the Fuse 2 Sol Station and for joining the webinar this afternoon. My name is Nadia El-Masri and I am a member of the Semiconductor Working Group at NSF. I work as a program director in the ERC program in the EEC division. Now, I would like to introduce Dr. Anthony Majewski, the division director of ECCS, the Electrical Communication and Cyber System Division, in the Engineering Directorate, to give NSF opening remarks. Tony?
Thank you, Nadia. Welcome to everyone. Good afternoon or good morning, depending upon where you're at. As Nadia said, my name's Tony Maciejewski, and I'm the Division Director for Electrical Communications and Cyber Systems here within the Engineering Directorate of NSF. And on behalf of all of the five directorates that are involved in the FUSE program, I sort of want to welcome all of you. To tell you a little bit about myself, I am an IPA, a rotator here at NSF, and I'm just celebrating my first year anniversary. And if any of you out there are thinking of rotator positions, I highly recommend it. My home institution is Colorado State University, where I'm a faculty member of electrical and computer engineering. And prior to coming to NSF, I spent 19 years as a department head of electrical and computer engineering. And so, unfortunately, I sort of had a first front row seat in seeing the decrease in interest in semiconductor education amongst our students in ECE. Departments. And that was kind of disheartening, especially to see many of my colleagues have to shutter their clean rooms. So I'm very excited to see this renaissance of interest in semiconductor research and education and workforce development, and thrilled to be a part of it. And thank you all for being here. The FUSE solicitation is very interesting from another number of points of view. I think one is the fact that it is so multidisciplinary. We do have five different directorates working on it. And of course, all of our directorates have been supporting research in semiconductor field for quite a while. Our colleagues in the materials research division, look at new materials that us over in engineering can make into devices, and then have our colleagues in SICE make systems out of those devices. And so we have supported research across the technology stack. But what's unique here in FUSE is that we actually want to fuse all of that together and look at co-design across the technology stack. So that's an important part of the FUSE solicitation, as well as the fact that they have the three different topic areas. And so looking at domain-specific computing, looking at heterogeneous integration, which is going to be critical to sort of get more than more scaling, and also the focus on materials research. Another aspect of FUSE, I think, that's very important is the focus on workforce development, right? The fact that there has to be a plan for education and workforce development, because as I mentioned, we do need to show our future students the excitement of working within the semiconductor industry. And finally, I want to touch on the importance of the industry participation. I am so thankful to our four industry partners. We can't do any of this without you, with your guidance in terms of what's important, both in terms of research directions and your workforce development needs. So thank you very much for being a part of it. And I guess thanks to all of you for being a part of this effort. Like I said, I'm loving to see this renaissance in interest in the semiconductor industry. So thank you all.
Thank you, Tony. Now I would like to introduce my colleague, Jason Hallstrom. Jason is a program director in the Computer and Network Systems Division within the SICE Directorate and one of the team members in the Semiconductor Working Group here at NSF. Jason?
Thank you, Nadia. Today we're going to provide an overview of the FUSE 2 solicitation. This is NSF 24521, and we're going to give you a chance toward the end of the webinar today to ask any questions you might have. It's important throughout the webinar today to keep in mind that the webinar is not a substitute for the solicitation. The solicitation, of course, remains the definitive standard for any information related to Fuse 2. And of course, we encourage all of our attendees to read the solicitation carefully. As Tony mentioned, Fuse 2 is a multi-division, multi-directorate program, and we're pleased today to be joined by colleagues from ENG, MTS, SCIES, EDU, and TIP. You should feel free to reach out to any of the participating program directors that you see on the slide here that are listed within the solicitation, but we ask you to please use the email address fuse1@nsf.gov. And of course, we encourage you to review the funding portfolios across the participating divisions and directorates to help better contextualize your proposed work. And I just do want to point out one more time, and I'll point it out again toward the end of the webinar, that it is not a typo. To reach us, it is fuse1@nsf.gov. As you all know, semiconductor technologies already play central roles in our daily lives, from computing and telecommunications to healthcare, and that set of application areas continues to grow. The U.S. has long been a leader in the area of semiconductors, particularly on the R&D side, and there are many new opportunities to expand this leadership position and to address key semiconductor challenges, both nationally and globally. The main driver behind the CHIPS and Science Act is the observation that semiconductor technology and innovation are critical to the economic growth and national security of the U.S. We need significant help from our research community, both academia and industry, to tackle these challenges. In response to the CHIPS and Science Act, NSF put out two solicitations, both under the name of Future of Semiconductors. We're going to refer to those as Fuse 1 and Fuse 2 for short. The former was a collaboration between the NSF and four industry partners, Ericsson, IBM, Intel, and Samsung. The current solicitation is a modification of the former. This is 24521. It is again a collaboration between NSF and industry, namely Ericsson, Intel, Micron, and Samsung. At the highest level of abstraction, the goal of the FUSE program is to cultivate a broad coalition of researchers from across science and engineering communities to utilize a holistic co-design approach to fundamental research, education, and training challenges, and to ultimately enable rapid progress in new semiconductor technologies. We expect that this collaboration between the NSF and our industry partners will help to accelerate the translation into practice of technological innovations that are developed under this program. For clarity, this is actually the third FUSE solicitation. The first was launched in 22, and that was focused on teaming, specifically the development of new FUSE teams. The second was launched in 2023, as I just mentioned, with a focus on holistic co-design. Importantly, FUSE 2, the current solicitation, is wholly independent of the former solicitations, so applicants are not required to have participated in either of the preceding rounds of FUSE. With the CHIPS and Science Act as motivating context, the key goals of the FUSE 2 solicitation are threefold and they're complementary. First, the solicitation seeks to advance research and development in semiconductor technology, exploring new materials, processes, and designs for future devices and systems. And as we're going to reiterate throughout the webinar today, co-design is a central theme of this solicitation. Second, the solicitation seeks to advance interdisciplinary education and workforce development to prepare the next generation semiconductor workforce. And finally, the solicitation seeks to enable the translation of fundamental research advancements into applications, into societal impact. Our industry partners, of course, play a central role here, helping us to better understand the semiconductor ecosystem and the specific challenges that are faced by industry. So please do keep these goals in mind while developing your proposals. To put a finer point on this, the division's directorates and the industry partners for FUSE 2 were selected with some intention. The vision of the program is to translate foundational research into products and solutions that benefit society and drive economic growth consistent with the CHIPS and Science Act. ENG, SCIES, MTS, and EDU on the left-hand side are responsible for supporting fundamental research and education activities conducted by our PIs. And our colleagues in TIP are responsible for facilitating a handshake, the coordination with our industry partners on the right-hand side, who have a better understanding of market needs and challenges. The goal is for FUSE to form a ramp of opportunity from fundamental research to societal impact and commercialization, overcoming the infamous valley of death. Before we get into more details of the solicitation, we'd like to give each of our four partners an opportunity to introduce themselves and to share their respective interests in the FUSE program. I'll first turn it over to our partners from Ericsson.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Ali Kairala. I'm with the Advanced Technology Group of Ericsson in Santa Clara, California. So it's my pleasure to be with you here today. Ericsson, as you know, is mainly a mobile infrastructure company, and our areas of interest are high frequency systems, data converters, energy management, compute, sensors, you name it. So we are very tightly connected with the semiconductor industry, and we rely very heavily on advances made by the semiconductor research and development. So why are we interested in this program? The evolution of wireless communication has been outpacing so-called Moore's Law for decades. And the way we have been catching up is by semiconductor innovation. So as you know, in the world of telecom, there's a next step, which is referred to as 6G, which is expected to be deployed around 2030. And this step will be no exception. It will require a lot of innovation in semiconductors to support the features that we're trying to develop. So Ericsson believes in an open environment where industry and academia and government can learn from each other. And we believe this FUSE 2 program is an excellent vehicle to do this. The second question is, what do we expect the program to achieve? Ericsson believes this FUSE 2 will lay the foundation and develop disruptive concepts that will enable the 6G vision that we are developing in the telecom industry. It will be an opportunity to share visions and concepts between world-leading teams in industry and academia. And it will strengthen the U.S. talent pool in semiconductors, which is extremely important both for the U.S. and globally. And the third question is, what resources can we make available to the project? So as you may know, we're a global company with a global research organization, and we will engage top researchers both from the US and from other sites in selected projects. We have, of course, as you can expect, many resources, test chambers, equipment, lab resources that could also be considered based on the relevance and the availability and timing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ali. Next, our partners from Intel.
Hi there, I'm Melissa Count. I'm a program director at Intel in our corporate university research office. I'm pleased to be part of the FUSE solicitation. So Intel is a semiconductor developing world-changing technologies to improve the lives of every person on the planet. We are inspired by Moore's Law. We continuously work to advance and design and manufacture semiconductors. And our research scope spans across every layer of the technology stack. We are excited to be part of FUSE. As we look at FUSE, there's really three really important outcomes that we're looking for. One is to really develop a skilled and growing a skilled workforce at all levels for semiconductors. You know, we are in this period of unprecedented kind of growth within the semiconductor industry here in the US. And so we're looking at, you know, really developing a pipeline of diverse talent at all levels, from technician to engineers to research scientists. You know, very important within FUSE, we're looking for outcomes that can really reach into undergraduate classrooms as well as impact students at community colleges and MSIs. We really want to empower the next generation of faculty educators and researchers in the semiconductor field, encourage new faculty to take on semiconductor research, and really look collaboratively with partners on how we address workforce needs. And then finally, you know, technology innovation, advancing U.S. semiconductor manufacturing leadership, and really we're interested within the FUSE solicitation that this is a program that encompasses multiple levels of the stack. We have interest in the new materials and the new device technologies, systems integration, and packaging technologies of our particular interest to Intel, as well as, you know, new architectures. As we engage with Fuse, we do plan to provide access to Intel technical mentors. We have expertise in all areas of Fuse, so happy to identify collaborations and maturation pathways with the funded proposals. We can also explore access to Intel's University Shuttle Program and compute environments for research and access to student internship opportunities. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. Next, our partners from Micron.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mark Helm. I'm a senior fellow at Micron, leading Micron's pathfinding and strategy groups. As Jason mentioned, Micron is a newcomer to the Fuse program with the Fuse 2 solicitation. And we're very excited to be a part of the Fuse 2 along with the NSF and the other industry partners. Now, Micron being, you know, a leader in memory and storage, we will certainly bring additional interest in how these critical components can really compute to contribute to compute architectures of the future in innovative ways. This might be, you know, further evolution of memory devices. It may be exploring new ways that we more tightly integrate memory and compute for the future to provide nonlinear power efficiency gains. Several reasons why Micron is now joining, you know, the cross-functional teaming approach that NSF and the industry partners have used for the Fuse programs really resonated with us as a key way to develop innovative concepts. And the full stack approach being advocated are really where we need to be looking as an industry and a community as, you know, point solutions are necessary, but they are insufficient in really providing the revolutionary gains that we all are looking for now. We would like to see vertically integrated solutions come from the proposals from the awardees. You know, although Micron is a memory company and we are very interested in things like materials and devices, but we are also very interested in applications and software stack. And there's a very strong recognition that new concepts and memories are need that level of support across the entire stack in order to be successful in the marketplace. With regards to support, what we are certainly very interested in collaboration and guidance to the awardees. You know, Micron has a very robust research experience across the stack that is part of the Fuse 2 solicitation. And we hope to provide perspective that is valuable to the community of awardees. Under the right circumstances, we can offer access to our R&D capabilities in the US. And of course, we have very strong interest in your students for internships and potential future career opportunities as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Next, our partners from Samsung.
Hello, everyone. My name is Stephen Che. I'm from Open Innovation Team, and I'm currently located in San Jose, California. We have many area of interest under the Fuse program. Next generation computing is the one of them, broadly including scalable heterogeneous architecture, also HPC accelerator and quantum computing. And also we have interest on AI for semiconductor industry, device heterogeneous integration, low energy, high density embedded memory devices, new or improved memory technology. And also we have interest on novel enabling material devices and processes in a broader spectrum of window. Why we are interested in? Samsung is excited to partner in the Fuse solicitation, given the need for the strong investment in the basic and applied research and also workforce training that will accelerate future semiconductor technology development. And ultimately, it will lead to the broad societal benefit. What is the our expectation and then what to achieve? We expect that the strong emphasis on core design across the computing stack, which is the essential element of the program, and it will identify new way to compute with the high efficiency, speed, and density, as well as provide a significant advancement to existing computing technology. Lastly, what resources can you make available to the projects? We actually look forward to engaging with the funded project to provide industry insight and also identify complementary collaboration opportunity, as well as facilitating knowledge exchange via visiting Samsung researcher where possible. We also hope to find opportunity for other tangible types of engagement to support validation of the technology which is developed under the PUSE program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephen. And to just reiterate Tony's comments from the start of the webinar, we are very grateful to our industry partners for their support of the PUSE program and for their participation in the webinar today. So thanks so much. We now come to the core of the PUSE 2 solicitation, and we are going to focus on co-design. Semiconductors can be viewed as a combination of technologies that are stacked at different levels, and these can be coarsely broken down into three key areas: materials, devices, and systems. In large part, the research within these areas occurs mostly independent of the other aspects of the technology stack. And the goal of the PUSE 2 program is to change that, to support fundamental research enabling co-design of semiconductor materials, devices, and systems that will propel U.S. semiconductor manufacturing and applications beyond the current bottlenecks while enabling new application areas and growing the semiconductor research and development talent pool. Co-design is emphasized throughout the solicitation to encourage cross-fertilization among broad areas of research sponsored by the NSF, supporting activities that do not fit well within individual programs. This calls for joint consideration of material, device, and system performance, as well as other aspects of interest, including manufacturability, recyclability, environmental impact, and other factors. Co-design represents the unification of the research and design fabric across these areas under a common R&D environment, tightly coupled with education and workforce development. The PUSE 2 solicitation identifies three topic areas. Topic 1, collaborative research and domain-specific computing. Topic 2, advanced function and high performance by heterogeneous integration. And topic 3, new materials for energy-efficient, enhanced performance, and sustainable semiconductor-based systems. In thinking through how to architect a competitive PUSE 2 submission, we encourage our PIs to use this figure as a reference. As noted earlier, the semiconductor technology stack can be roughly organized into three layers, spanning materials, devices, and systems. You see these as verticals on the graph. Proposals must span at least two of these layers. Similarly, proposals must pursue at least one of the three topic areas across those layers. So while a proposal may pursue multiple topics, precisely one topic area must be identified as the primary topic area. So it's choose two across the top, choose one or more along the verticals. Education and workforce development activities should, of course, be closely integrated. So it may be useful to consider a few potential instantiations of this architecture. In the first case, on the left-hand side of the slide, we see a proposal that's focused on topic one with work spanning devices and systems. The middle, we see a topic two proposal that's focused on materials and devices. The third example covers materials and devices across topic two and topic three, but importantly, only one topic has been identified as the primary topic, in this case, topic two. So we want to emphasize this point. Exactly one primary topic must be identified, and it must be identified within the title of the proposal using this format. PUSE 2, topic 1, 2, or 3, followed by the actual technical title of your proposal. Awards in FY24 will be up to $2 million per award for up to 3 years, of course, commensurate with the scope and team size. And the program seeks to fund collaborative research and education that transcends the traditional boundaries of individual disciplines to achieve program goals. Again, silo breaking. We're now going to spend some time just hitting the highlights of topic 1, 2, and 3. Topic one, collaborative research in domain-specific computing, seeks to increase performance, energy efficiency, usability, sustainability, and other aspects of computing systems through co-design approaches that leverage characteristics of specific domains. We encourage you to consider domain-specific in the broadest sense. Example domains of interest include application domains, computing strategy domains, and technology domains. And there are several examples that are articulated within the solicitation. Topic two is focused on advanced function and high performance through heterogeneous integration with a goal of accelerating the adoption of advanced electronic, memory, photonic, energy, or sensing devices and components in semiconductor technology to enable cutting-edge functionality. Examples include, but again are not limited to, heterogeneous integration and heterogeneous technology ingredients, package platform heterogeneous integration, and heterogeneous integration system design and characterization technologies. Topic three, new materials for energy efficient, enhanced performance, and sustainable semiconductor-based systems. Potential areas of interest, again, examples, these are not prescriptive. Novel materials or innovative combinations of materials enabling novel energy efficient logic and or memory functions, including non-von Neumann logic. Novel materials or innovative combinations of materials for next generation interconnect heterogeneous integration in devices and packaging at relevant dimensions. Materials to enable patterning with the next generation of extreme ultraviolet and high numerical aperture EUV lithography photoresists, as well as novel bottom-up patterning approaches such as directed self-assembly. And finally, development of new characterization methods and or high resolution imaging technologies for the characterization of materials at the electronic device or chip level, for example, electrical or thermal transport or defect mapping at the atomic molecular level in a functioning electronic device. As we've said, education and workforce development activities serve a central role in FUSE 2 and must play a central role in all successful FUSE 2 submissions. These activities are expected to be tightly integrated with the proposed research activities. All proposals must include within the broader impact description, a section titled Education and Workforce Development Plan, which must articulate education and workforce development goals, plans for recruitment, retention, and graduation of students from underrepresented groups, plans for assessing the effectiveness of the EWD plans, and plans to integrate research in EWD components. PIs are, of course, encouraged to engage experts in education, curriculum development, academic assessment, and other areas as appropriate to the EWD plans. Now we're going to briefly review the mechanics of the solicitation. There are no letters of intent or pre-proposals required or accepted for this competition. All full proposals are due by March 14th, 2024, no later than 5 p.m. local time. Proposals can be submitted either through research.gov or grants.gov. By the submission deadline, any PI, co-PI, or senior personnel must hold a tenured or tenure track position or a primary full-time paid appointment in a research or teaching position, with exceptions granted for family or medical leave as determined by the submitting institution. Individuals with primary appointments at for-profit, non-academic organizations or at overseas branch campuses of U.S. institutions of higher education are not eligible to apply. Researchers from foreign academic institutions who contribute essential expertise to the project may participate as senior personnel or collaborators, but they may not receive NSF financial support. NSF 23552 recipients, these are recipients under the previous FUSE call, that is FUSE 1, cannot serve as PI or co-PI for the FUSE 2 solicitation, but they may serve as senior personnel. These points are important. We're actually going to hit them again a bit later in the webinar. Proposals that violate these limitations will be returned without review. So please do pay attention to these requirements. The awards will be issued as either standard or continuing grants. The total available budget for this program is $40 million. We expect to award approximately 20 awards under the solicitation, with each award providing up to $2 million of support for a period of up to 3 years. Of course, the number of awards, size, duration, et cetera, will depend on the responsiveness to the solicitation, and it's always subject to the availability of funds. We've covered, again, some of these points already, but they're important enough that we're going to repeat some of them here. Please read the solicitation carefully. Non-compliant proposals will be returned without review, and we really hate to do that, so we're going to really hammer on these points. PIs must hold primary, full-time, paid appointments in research or teaching positions at U.S.-based campuses. Individuals with primary appointments at for-profit non-academic organizations or at overseas branch campuses of U.S. institutions of higher education are not eligible. An individual may appear as PI, co-PI, or senior personnel on only one FUSE 2 proposal, although there is no limit on the number of proposals per organization. So you could have two separate PIs, two separate faculty members from an academic institution who apply. That's permissible. This solicitation allows only a single proposal submission with subawards that are administered by the lead organization. Proposers responding to this solicitation must include a project management and collaboration section. It must address the following: the need for sustained support of a multidisciplinary team using a convergence research approach, why the project team is appropriate to realize the project's goals, and how the team will ensure effective collaboration in the co-design process, and a compelling rationale for a multi-organization project structure. Inclusion of minority-serving and EPSCoR institutions is strongly encouraged. Again, every proposal must select at least one topic area spanning at least two layers of the semiconductor technology stack. A single primary topic area must be identified in the project title using the required format, and the topics and layers addressed by the proposal must be captured in the very first sentence of the project summary. So as an example, an appropriate first sentence for a proposal might be, for a project summary would be, this proposal focuses on topic one, devices and systems. That would appear as the very first sentence in the project summary. Broad collaboration is encouraged by the solicitation spanning academic institutions, industry partners, national laboratories, and other organizations. And while all of these organizations are eligible to participate, there are funding restrictions, some of which we've already touched upon. Please do consult the Award Policies and Procedures Guide concerning funding eligibility for these organizations. Submissions from EPSCoR states and jurisdictions, as well as minority-serving institutions, historically Black colleges and universities, Hispanic-serving institutions, and tribal colleges and universities are encouraged. Proposals are encouraged to leverage other activities and resources, including existing collaborations and programs such as RUs, RETs, and others, to broaden opportunities and expand participation. The National Science Foundation is committed to advancing diversity, equity, and inclusion in creating opportunities for everyone everywhere. Finally, industrial collaborations may be supported through the NSF GOLI mechanism in conjunction with this solicitation, and we encourage folks who are interested in pursuing that option to review carefully the GOLI solicitation for more details. Full proposals will be reviewed according to the standard NSF merit review criteria using the standard NSF review process, which most attendees today are familiar with. The standard merit review criteria apply. Intellectual merit criterion encompasses the potential to advance knowledge, the technological advancements, the scientific advancements, and the broader impact criterion encompasses the potential to benefit society and contribute to the achievement of specific desired societal outcomes. This is, in some sense, the so what criterion. Reviewers will also be asked to address FUSE 2 specific review criteria that are identified in the solicitation and which we will read through now. These are the FUSE 2 specific review criteria that reviewers will be asked to specifically evaluate the proposals against. And of course, not all questions are relevant to all proposals. Does the project identify an overarching foundational problem which requires a co-design approach? Are energy-efficient, sustainable device manufacturing processes using earth-abundant and non-toxic materials, minimizing water usage and striving for zero waste emphasized? Does the proposal identify an integrated multidisciplinary research agenda that defines the roles of all participants, and is the composition of the multidisciplinary team appropriate for the scope of the proposed activities? How are the research tasks synergistically integrated across the identified research focus areas? And does the proposal address the associated research risks and present mitigation plans? How effectively does the proposal present a compelling argument that the proposed educational activities will equip students and other workforce participants with the skills to engage in the evolving semiconductor industry and broaden participation by building on best practices and evidence-based approaches. Importantly, Fuse 2 industry partners, Ericsson, Intel, Micron, and Samsung, may not participate in Fuse 2 proposals in any manner. If a Fuse 2 industry partner is included within a submitted proposal, it will be returned without review. To put a finer point on this, proposals may not list or describe any kind of agreed or assumed arrangement to use the contributions by or any other collaborative arrangements with the Fuse 2 industry partners that have been identified in the solicitation and who you've had a chance to meet earlier in the webinar. Proposers are not restricted, however, from making use of widely accessible products or services of those Fuse 2 industry partners. Proposers should not contact the four Fuse 2 industry partners with questions pertaining to their company's participation in the solicitation. All questions involving Fuse 2, including participation of industry partners, should be directed to the NSF at fuse1@nsf.gov. Please read the eligibility section of this solicitation carefully. To further clarify the role of Fuse 2 industry partners on this solicitation, prior to awards, Fuse 2 industry partners will not participate in or observe the review of proposals. NSF will, however, share some of the proposals which are under consideration for funding, along with reviews and panel summaries, and NSF will take into consideration the input of all Fuse 2 industry partners prior to making final funding decisions. Importantly, NSF will, however, retain final authority for making all award decisions. And finally, proprietary or privileged information that might be provided in the single copy document section will not be shared with reviewers or industry partners. Post-award, NSF will administer the awards under the program in accordance with standard NSF policies and procedures. The Fuse 2 industry partners will not oversee the activities or the use of funds provided to grantees. Fuse 2 industry partners may make available direct contributions of resources, for example, software, data sets, computing infrastructure, but no awardee will be required to use any industry partner's direct offered contributions. A Fuse 2 industry partner may also arrange to fund its own personnel and as researchers to directly participate with awardee project personnel, but these arrangements will be optional and upon the mutual consent of the industry partner and the respective awardee institutions. No awardee will be required to accept an industry partner researcher. NSF will share annual and final project reports with Fuse 2 industry partners, but only after those reports have been reviewed and accepted by the cognizant NSF program officer. Fuse 2 awards will include specific provisions related to intellectual property generated under funded projects. The award terms and conditions will include the following. Awardees shall grant to the sponsoring parties a non-exclusive, worldwide, paid-up, non-transferable, irrevocable, royalty-free license to all intellectual property rights in any inventions conceived or first reduced to practice in the performance of the program work under the funding agreement. Importantly, this is a non-exclusive license. Awardees shall grant the license to each industry partner named in the corresponding award letter, unless, of course, the industry partner opts to decline that license. This license shall not extend to awardees' background intellectual property, that is what the institutions bring to the table. Intel, Micron, and Samsung will be named as sponsors for all awards, and Ericsson will be named as a sponsor in a partial set of awards. No rights or licenses are granted or assumed by the Fuse 2 industry partners to awardees. And finally, awardees may delay the publishing of data and software describing inventions to first permit the filing of patent applications following standard practice. While the webinar covered the main points of the Fuse 2 program, we want to emphasize again that the solicitation is the definitive source for all requirements and policies specific to this solicitation, and the standard regulations that are captured in the PAPPG apply. We ask all proposers to please review both of those documents carefully. NSF program officers are here to help. If any questions arise as you're developing your proposal, we want you to reach out to us. Please do direct all inquiries to fuse1@nsf.gov. I realize it's a little bit unusual that this is the Fuse 2 solicitation and the email address is fuse1, so we ask you to just keep that in mind, fuse1@nsf.gov. So with that, it brings us to the end of the webinar, and we're now going to have a chance for attendees to submit questions using the Q&A panel feature in Zoom. I'm going to give folks just a minute or two to go ahead and enter their questions in the Q&A as they arise, and we're going to do our best to address as many as we can. We're fortunate to have many members of the Fuse 2 team here on the Zoom call today, so as questions come in, I'll direct those questions to the appropriate PDs on the call. And so I just need 1 minute to sort my screen.
Jason, I would like to address several questions that all is one question is how an industry, a small business can collaborate with industry, with the academia for a proposal. And as we all know that this is allowed at NSF by submitting a goalie proposal. And so I am just, you know, directing everyone to go to NSF's website and look at the goalie proposal rules and regulations as far as who can be on the cover page as a co-PI and how the budget can be constructed. I'm asking any one of my colleagues who's running a core program to answer the question of the budget issue.
Thank you, Nadia. So I'm going to begin to read the questions as they come in. And if they're short, I will address them directly. Otherwise, I will direct them to the appropriate PD. So a number of folks are asking, can a Fuse 2 proposal include collaboration with a national lab? The answer is yes. A national laboratory can be a collaborating partner, but there are restrictions on funding eligibility that are documented within the solicitation and within the PAPPG. Can you
add, typically the NSF funds does not go to the national lab. So the sub awards to the national lab is unlikely to be allowed.
Thanks, Charles.
Yeah, and I will add if a student and a postdoc or a faculty or other participant at the university, spend a small fraction at the national lab with a scientist or engineer at the national lab. I think that would be okay, but no funds should go to the national lab.
Thank you, Charles. Sharon, the next question I'm going to ask you to address. Can you give any guidance on how much system circuit prototyping with novel devices would be valued in the context of Fuse 2? You're muted, Sharon.
Sorry, I was muted. Yeah, I would say it is valued, but the idea of having this prototype is really trying to demonstrate the value or the contribution of novel ideas, novel research ideas. It should not be just to have a prototype for the sake of prototype.
Thank you. Would you be able to share what fraction of submitted proposals were awarded in Fuse 1? I'm afraid that we're not able to share that information today. The next question I'm going to ask Michael Huff to address. Michael, the question is, I'm working in a small business company as a staff engineer, and I would like to collaborate with a university professor to submit a proposal. The question is, am I eligible to serve as a co-PI in the proposal or program?
Yeah, thanks for the question. My understanding is that you can serve as a PI or co-PI if you're affiliated with a university. You can't have any funds going to a private company, though, is my understanding.
Thanks, Michael. So there is a question here for Melissa. Melissa Cowan, Intel. The question is, which universities are current participants of Intel University Shuttle Program? Are they the teams from Fuse, or does it have broader participants?
Hi there. Yeah, so I can't disclose our full list of university members, but we are supporting dozens of universities across the US and even more globally with the University Shovel program today. And it's not exclusive to FUSE. This program is beyond that. So, and I would suggest for proposals considering the shuttle, I think what we guided in FUSE 1 was to assume budgets for a typical academic prototyping service in the proposal, and that we can connect after awards are made on shuttle access.
Thank you, Melissa. The next question is, does FUSE 2 consider hardware software co-design approach? I just want to be sure I've read this correctly. Does FUSE 2 consider hardware software co-design also? And Nadia, I'll ask you to address that, please. You're muted, Nadia, sorry.
Yes, like hardware software co-design approach, of course, it is under the topic one. And at the same time, it is considered an approach, a co-design approach. Therefore, a proposal such that is being considered. However, when you are writing your proposal, you have to make sure that you are addressing mainly a specific topic area, as Jason has actually alluded in his webinar. So again, I'm asking everyone to please label your proposal, the title, as which topic area and which stacks you are addressing, then followed by the title of the proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Nadia. So I'm just going to add to that. So just to reiterate that hardware software co-design is most welcome, but that does not meet the co-design requirement of the solicitation, which requires that you span at least two layers of the semiconductor technology stack. Michael, the next question will be for you. Mm-hmm. I am curious about the role of the TIP program within FUSE 2.
Well, TIP is a new directorate within the NSF, relatively new. And our mission is to help translate technologies developed in the research offices into where they have a broader impact, maybe in a commercial space or maybe something else. So our role is to help the performers under this program in any way they can to get their ideas and the results of their research out into wider use.
Thank you, Michael. The next question is, what are the major differences of FUSE 2 compared to FUSE 1? The short answer is that there are no major differences between the prior round of FUSE and the current round of FUSE, other than a change in the industry partners participating in the program.
If I would like to add, I think there's a couple technical differences, not technical, not in terms of science engineering, but in terms of solicitation. One is in the case of FUSE 2, each senior personnel can only participate in one proposal. In the last competition, the limitation was two. So this time it's only one. And the other is if somebody is the PI or co-PI of awards so the FUSE 1 with award made in September of 2023, and that person cannot be a PI or co-PI of the FUSE 2 proposal. Such person may serve as a senior personnel, so play a role less than a PI or co-PI.
Thank you, Charles. So Sharon, I'm going to ask you to address the next one. If fabrication is allowed, will the participating companies provide opportunities for awardees to prototype designs, especially those that require CMOS plus X?
I actually probably have to punt this question to Nadia, because this is more the industry sponsorship related. Nadia, can you help?
Uh, I'm trying to find the question. I was not listening. I'm sorry.
So the question is whether the industry partners, particularly for CMOS plus X, will provide fabrication support.
I guess at this point, we are advising to allow in the budget fabrication services. And you can go for a fabrication anywhere you want, including, you know, the industry partners.
But we are not allowed these four industry partners to provide letters of support.
No, for service.
Yeah, that's just purely as a service.
Yeah.
They don't treat them as a collaborator or a sponsor. You just go there, shop for their fabrication service.
Exactly, yeah. Just like, you know, if you have on campus a facility for fabrication and you're paying a service charge or service fees, it's the same thing, you know, you can shop for anywhere to do your fabrication.
Thank you. Next question. Is a letter of collaboration from one of the four partner companies allowed? Definitely not. So the four Fuse 2 industry partners may not participate in any fashion with Fuse 2 submissions. Nadia, the next question will be for you. How does the NSF determine the specific directorate, for example, size engineering, that reviews the proposals as they're submitted?
That's exactly why we are emphasizing the fact that you can determine which panel your proposal is going to go to, which is, you know, which directorate that or should manage your proposal and put your proposal in a panel. So am I allowed to say what's topic one, topic two? You know, okay. Topic one is going to size, topic two is going to engineering, and topic three is going to MPS. So according to your proposal, you should be able to determine which community you would like to have in the panel that would evaluate your proposal.
Thank you, Nadia. Similar question to one asked previously, can I reach out to the industry partners to see if they have the specific technology to fabricate? You may not. You should not reach out to any of the Fuse 2 industry partners. Please direct all inquiries to fuse1@nsf.gov.
I will add, if you will use a fabrication facility or other tool offered beyond those four companies, Ericsson, Intel, Micron, and Samsung, you may reach to those companies.
Thank you, Charles. So this is a question really for Micron and Samsung. I believe I know the answer, but of course invite our colleagues to correct me if I'm wrong. The question is, does Micron and Samsung provide access to their memory fabrication facilities to Fuse 2 awardees? The short answer is, proposers should not assume that they have access to any facilities of the participating industry 2 partners. That would be discussed post-award, but of course invite our colleagues from Micron and Samsung to correct me if I'm wrong on that.
That's indeed my expectation as well, Jason.
Thank you, Mark. Charles, this next question is for you. Can a senior personnel from a Fuse 1 project participate in a Fuse 2 project?
Yes, with the understanding that senior personnel is not a PI or co-PI.
Thanks, Charles.
Okay, let me be more clear. If a senior personnel in the Fuse 1 proposal and the Fuse 1 award who was not at the PI or co-PI level, and then such individual can participate the Fuse 2 proposal in any capacity. It could be a PI, it could be a co-PI, or could be a non-co-PI senior personnel. If a current PI or co-PI award made in September of 2023, such person cannot be a PI or co-PI of a proposal to be submitted in March. That person could be a non-co-PI senior personnel play a smaller role. In addition, NSF made several teaming awards early last year with proposals submitted in the summer of 2022. There's no restriction for any of the PI, co-PI, or senior personnel for those awards.
Thanks, Charles. So the next question I'll ask Eleanor to address. There seems to be restrictions on the involvement of industry partners in the proposal. Is it okay to mention that students will apply for internships at the industry partners as part of their workforce training?
I'm happy to answer part of this, which is it's absolutely okay for your students to seek internships as part of their training, but we're pretty clear that you can't be having our industry partners as part of your proposal.
Thank you, Eleanor. Nadia, the next question will be for you. Is it correct that goalies are allowed and require an industry co-PI, but they just cannot be from the four partner organizations?
That's correct.
And a follow-up question, Nadia.
Uh-huh.
What level of commercialization potential should the proposed technologies have at this stage?
If you're referring to the TRL level, I guess.
I think that's exactly right.
Yeah, it is. This fuse, Sol Station, is supposed to cross from the basic science to the industry translation. In other words, I would say, well, it depends. TRL 3, TRL 4, it depends on what are you doing in your lab. In other words, I'm sure the industry partners would welcome any high level of tech transfer.
Thank you, Nadia. Prem, the next question is for you. Does Fuse 2 consider test reliability and failure analysis for advanced packaging?
The short answer is yes. Make sure it cuts across the tech stack, the two tech stacks for sure. And also you're gonna be careful as to which of the topics area you wanna pick. For example, let's say if you're gonna do reliability, is it from materials point of view or is it a different level? And which of the topics would it fall under? The short answer is yes, it's allowed, but make sure you pick the two stack areas as well as the topic area.
Thanks, Prem. So Nadia, I'm going to send one more your way.
Okay.
Do the funds allowed for fabrication and packaging, I think the question is it permissible to include funds for fabrication and packaging at industry partners? Is there a preference for the collaborating companies that should be chosen for fabrication and packaging? And then can we pick other, that is non-Fuse 2 industry partners such as TSMC?
Okay, I would advise that do not pinpoint to any of the four industry partners that you're gonna use their fabrication facility. Allow in your budget the fabrication as an unknown entity, where you're going. However, if you are already have a fabrication facility that you are using that's not one of the four industry partners, you can identify.
Thanks, Nadia. Charles, I'm going to ask a question. You've touched upon this already, but there are still some questions coming in, so I want to give you another chance to hit on this. And the question is twofold. If we collaborate with a national lab, how might they be funded? And then the second question connected is, if you have a PI at an FFRDC who is also an adjunct at a local university, can they propose?
Yeah, do not propose a sub award to the national lab. Okay, I think that's make it very clear. if somebody with a primary appointment at the national other entities with the acronym what is it?
FSRDC.
FRDC, right? So that person cannot be a PI or co-PI of the proposal. Okay. It's possible that a graduate student, a postdoc, or senior faculty could spend a small fraction of time at a national lab.
Thanks, Charles.
I believe, Jason, NSF does not fund federally funded labs. That's, you know, if this is, you know, the concept, just ask yourself, I'm collaborating with this lab, is it federally funded? It's, you know, it is no.
Thank you, Nadia. Michael, the next question is for you, and I sent you a message, a private message in chat as well. So the question is there a single place or set of places for proposers to look at the services that are offered by the participating companies? Many may not be aware of what is available.
You're not supposed to reach out to the companies. I know that is a fact. With regard to the companies making any kind of fabrication or services available, it's not incorporated into the proposal. So you essentially you find out what they have to offer if you're awarded, and then you have the ability to have contact with those industrial partners.
Thank you. Charles, the next question is for you. Can a Fuse 2 PI co-PI also serve as a reviewer for other Fuse 2 proposals?
We do not plan to do so.
We are in the process of creating the legal document for conflict of interest. So, and we are not planning to involve those PIs or co-PIs in panels. That's the consensus of the working group.
Thank you, Nadia. The next question is, proposals can cover two topic areas. Should both of them be included in the proposal title? The answer is no. Only the primary topic area must be included within the title. The next question I will ask Mark to address. Would it be fine and beneficial to have support letters from non-Fuse 2 partners? And sorry, Michael, Jason. I'm sorry, Mark. The question is for Michael, sorry. Would it be fine and beneficial to have support letters from companies that are not in the Fuse 2 partners list?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Jason, I think there is the issue of collaborative proposals that there were several questions about them. And the decision was to have only one proposal from the lead institution, and all other institutions will be sub-awardees. And yes, anyone from the sub-awardees can be on the cover page as a co-PI.
Thank you. So the next question is, it seems that the transformative aspect of the NSF intellectual merit and broader impact criteria have been relaxed for this solicitation. Can you confirm or comment on the standard review criteria apply for both intellectual merit and broader impact? They have not been weakened or loosened in any way. The next question is it considered an advantage for a proposal to cover multiple topics as opposed to at least two stack layers? I invite any of the PDs on the call to add to this, but the short answer is that we always punt to the PIs on how best to structure their proposals. If it makes sense for your particular proposal to span more than two topics, absolutely that's appropriate and permissible, but there is no specific advantage to covering three layers of the stack, for example.
Hi, Jason, if I could add to that a little bit. In general, we love it when you are clear in what you want to do and the pieces of your proposal are coherent with each other. And the more pieces you add, the more opportunity there are to lose coherence. So put together a clear and coherent proposal, but don't try to stuff in everything plus the kitchen sink, because that is an opportunity to lose coherence.
Eleanor, your answer was so terrific. I'm going to send a follow-up on a related thread. So the question is, can you provide guidance on how we should select a topic area, given that the proposal might span more than one topic area, especially if one area is not dominant?
Yes. Write a one-pager that says what you want to do and send it to us at fuse1@nsf.gov. And you can get some more specific feedback for the specific thing you are trying to do.
Great. Thank you, Eleanor. The next question is for Nadia. Will the subawardee from other universities be considered as a co-PI? I think the question is, can they be considered a co-PI? And is there a limit to how many subawardees that may be involved?
Well, it depends on your budget, how many subawardees you would like to add to your proposal. And so, the cover page of NSF allows, four co-PIs. And so it is really up to you how you want to craft your proposal.
And Sam, the next question is for you. How detailed should the workforce development plan be, and can we allocate budget for it?
I was just trying to type the answer. First of all, the budget can be allocated for the workforce development and the education plan. And regarding the details, I think this will be a leave to the PI. So I will say, first of all, you will need to provide an innovative plan for workforce development and education. And regarding what kind of level of details, I think this will leave back to the PIs.
I will add to what Sam just said. If you feel tempted to integrate your workforce development plans into different aspects of your proposal, as you write your project description, you are encouraged to collect them all together into one section so that we can clearly identify your education and workforce development plan, which could reference other sections as appropriate. And yeah, budget, great choice.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Eleanor. So there are no additional open questions. So I think perhaps what we'll do is wait a minute to see if there are any other questions that may pop up before we close the webinar. So we'll give everyone a chance to offer any additional questions you may have.
We have answered many questions in writing. If you think your question has not been fully answered, you may ask again.
Thanks, Charles. Sharon, we have a question for you. For topic one, domain-specific computing, how specific should it be? Are we focusing on specific applications, for example, ECG detection, or general applications, for example, healthcare?
I think at the end of the day, this is a fused proposal, so it has to be focusing on one of the two of the three stacks that Jason has mentioned. The end application could be one application, could be a broad application domain, either one is fine. But for one application, I think you need to justify that application is really an important and a critical application. So think about the impact, the transformative impact that the proposal will have.
Thanks, Sharon. Nadia, next question is for you. $2 million for 3 years seems like a lot. Is there a penalty for smaller proposals with smaller teams?
Of course, there are no penalties for having a logical proposal that have a co-design approach and identify topic areas and technical stacks that make sense. And of course, you know, the level of funding, it depends on the efforts that are proposed.
Thanks, Nadia. Next question. Is the workforce development plan and project management plan separate? Are those separate documents or part of the 15? They're part of the 15.
I think the answer is no.
It is part of the 15 pages.
That's right. It is part of the 15 pages. The answer to that one is yes. Now I can't remember how it was phrased. It is included in the 15. Those are not separate documents.
So the separate sections, yes. Separate documents, no.
Yep. Thanks, Eleanor.
Can I add a clarification?
Of course.
So the earlier we discussed about the FFRDC and then such as laboratory operate for the Department of Energy. If there is a scientist at the FFRDC, such as a DOE lab, and with primary appointment at the A university with secondary appointment at such an organization, and that's scientists with primary appointment at university in the US university can be a PI, a co-PI, or senior personnel. But again, no sub award to FFRDC.
Thanks, Charles. So Eleanor, I see you answering the current question. Would you like to answer that in real time?
Sure. So the question here is review location determined by which we choose as a primary track size, MPS, or engineering? And determined is a strong word. Your primary choice is highly suggestive of where it will go, but it could be that we, as we read your proposal and as we read everybody's proposals, that we do some shuffling around to make sure that each panel is intellectually coherent.
Let me add, Eleanor, that after DPI decides which topic area he wants to apply to, that comes to us. And so among ourselves, we will decide that yes, the proposal falls into this category or no, it is stronger in a different topic area. And then we start shuffling, as Eleanor said.
Yeah, make good choices to help us do good sorting, but also we do the sorting, not you.
I think there may be also a little confusion there. What do we mean by track and what do we mean by topic? So you have to cover 2+ tracks, but the topic area, you have to have only have one primary topic area. And we typically based on the topic area to assign which direction it goes to, but it's not always, right? But that's basically gave us a guideline. However, you do have to cover 2 tracks. So make sure you know the difference between topics and tracks. Don't confuse the two.
Thank you. So again, we'll follow the same protocol. We'll wait a minute or two to see if there are any lingering questions folks may have. So there is a question. I'm not sure that I see the contradiction. So the question is, earlier it was stated that topic 1 is size, topic 2 is engineering, and topic 3 is MPE, or MPS rather. The last answer contradicted this. Charles, can you clarify?
Topic 1, okay. So if it's submitted indicating topic 1, most likely the proposal will be reviewed in the panels organized by size. If you submit a proposal indicating topic two, and then most likely the proposal will be reviewing the panel organized by engineering. But with, and then if you submit a proposal in topic three, most likely the proposal will be reviewed in the panel organized by the NPS. But NSF reserved the rights to make adjustment. If we look at a proposal, if you submit a proposal to topic one, and then we say maybe it's best reviewed in the engineering panel, we will reserve rights to do so. And the second, even though the proposal is reviewed in a particular, in a panel organized by, for example, size, it's likely there will be some engineering program director be there, or if you submit a, if the proposal reviewed in engineering, it could be size PD to be there or the NPS program director be there. Okay, so each proposal need to cover at least two technology stacks. If you, for example, if you submitted to top three, if you 100% or 95% on the materials or chemistry, and such proposal will be revealed, but may not be would not be competitive. You need to have a device component, substantial device component. If even you select the topic three.
Thank you, Charles. So the next question is, how do we allocate co-PIs if we're only allowed four? And the short answer is that we always defer to the proposing team to make those decisions. So it is, we defer to you, but it is typical for those with the most significant intellectual leadership in the program to serve as co-PIs. So the next question I'm going to ask Nadia to address. It was just stated that we should clearly distinguish the track, that is stack levels, from topics. That is, that we should address the we should make it clear which layers and which topics we're addressing. The problem is that the slides from last year also point out that there is an option to have one topic plus two layers, correct? Two topics plus two layers, also correct. Can you clarify?
Of course, we just, reiterating the same thing. It is topic area. When you're writing a proposal, you know exactly where you want your proposal go to. And as far as having more than one topic area, most probably there is a strength of the proposal that you are writing with the topic area. So the clue here is the topic area. So if I'm writing the proposal, I would like to address, for example, a proposal that strongly materials engineering. And so I would address that like novel materials, preparing new novel materials and allowing it to go all the way to device structure. So now we are doing two stacks, material and device, but we are addressing the novelty of the new material. Therefore, I am addressing the topic three type of proposals, which is materials. If it is devices and systems, and I'm going to refer to Prem to correct me if I'm incorrect, we're talking about topic two. All right. And so, you just think from it as far, I can understand that would be more than one co-PI have the strengths in different topic areas. And so that's why you should identify which topic area you would like to address, even though if there are both of them are strong, you're gonna leave that decision to us, where that proposal will go. And Prem, if you would like to add.
No, that is correct, Nadia. So, I mean, just for everybody's understanding, the goal is that we want your proposal to be reviewed fairly, and we have the right experts in the panel for that. And that is the goal. So if you know where you feel it should fit, that helps us to get there, then eventually, and the panel is going to be interdisciplinary, so that it's reviewed fairly and they're experts in that panel. That's the key goal.
Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Nadia. So I can see that we're beginning to have attendees log off. And so I think that folks have exhausted the set of questions that they may have had. Of course, if there are questions that arise after the close of the webinar, you should feel free to reach out. We're here to help. Please contact us at fuse1@nsf.gov. With that, we're going to conclude the webinar today. We're grateful for the time that you've invested into the Fuse 2 program. Thank you for your interest. Thank you for attending the webinar. And we wish you the best of luck in successful applications. Thank you for attending.